This morning, our message is labeled the following way. Change. The earlier, the better. Sort of like a cousin to the phrase, sooner rather than later. They just sang about the old rugged cross. I'd have you take your Bibles this morning and come to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And as you are making your way there, I do not know, nor does the scripture reveal, what the exact thinking of Christ was in those several days following his death. I can't possibly do anything more than, with good intention, speculate what the eternal God must have been thinking when he descended into the grave. And the first day comes and goes. And the second day comes and goes. And finally, on the third day, according to the scriptures, he was to be raised again. I do not know what he could have been thinking. I do not know, except that there's a couple of scripture passages elsewhere in the New Testament. Some of the things in the Psalms may give indication of that mindset. I can't sort it out. I do not know what an eternal, holy, harmless God, of whom it is said he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, could have been thinking for those days while he was suffering the separation that he had from a God, the Father, whose company he had enjoyed for numberless eons before. I do think, however, that if we were in a similar or same situation, that we might rejoice in as much as that the resurrection came earlier rather than later. And so I come to Mark chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, I want you to note that, underline it, red mark it. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And please notice in verse number 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly, fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And then verse 9 begins, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Would you pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, would you guide us in our thinking as relates to Scripture today? Make clear sense of anything that may be obscured. And help us, dear Heavenly Father, to relish with the same enthusiasm that no doubt was exhibited in the hearts of some of the disciples of Christ in this day, to be able to tell the story of a risen Savior. We ask, Lord, that you might help us to appreciate the whole profile of doctrinal and scriptural teaching that makes this passage very, very significant. Please help us this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would ask this as we begin. Is there any significance in the Lord's early resurrection rather than late? Any significance in the Lord's early resurrection rather than late? We are able to look into the text here at verse number 2 and define what is early. It is said there to be equated at the rising of the sun. Would it have been any different? Would it have made any more sense if it was that the Lord was raised from the dead at the setting of the sun on the first day of the week? Any significance to his early resurrection? Well, I'll give you the answer in a bit. And I would have you take your Bibles and please come to first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19. And again, the 27th verse finds its context in verses 18 and 19, chapters 18 and 19, where it says in verse 27, Genesis 19, 27, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. As we would understand, that he got up early in the morning to the place where he stood previous. And where was that place? The precise place where he stood the day before. And what is it that he is doing? And I will say that as we look at this, you must agree with me that in order for change to be effected, earlier is better than later. You come into the entirety of the context to chapter 18 at the first verse. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door of the heat of the day, lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And he affords them the usual and you might think expected courtesies of a host with strangers at the door. And that is pretty much depicted there right down through verse 8. And then the question comes from his guest, where is thy wife? They give her the information about returning to her the time of life. Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. She heard and she laughed. Earlier is not what she has in mind. For her, later, much too late, is the day on this issue. And then we see in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then we move into the next section. The men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the question is asked again by those three. The question is, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice, judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he hath spoken of him. Then they get to the meat of their concern in the next verse. Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is very great, or is great, and because their sin is very grievous. You know, that's God's estimation of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God's viewpoint has not changed over the centuries. It has not changed. Even though change has come to the world. Change has come to America. Change has come to the church. Many fundamentalists and evangelicals now have changed their viewpoint on this subject matter. But God has not changed. His estimation of the problem at Sodom and Gomorrah is just the same today as it was then. Has not changed. And they said, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Again, we follow this through to the end of chapter 9, or to the 27th verse of chapter 19. And we find Abram standing in the place where he was previously. And what is the place that he stands at? Where is the place he is standing? He is at the place of intercession. The lives and destinies of people were at stake. Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? And we find in this 18th chapter, this man, a friend of God, appealing to God again and again and again and again for the lives of those within the city. And finally, God would agree with him that if he finds a certain number, he would spare the city. But the tragedy is that in this whole, the whole place of where Abraham's kinsmen lived, there were not found sufficient, even at the barest of minimums, for God to change, and I put that in quotes, his determination to destroy the city. Now, God's appraisal of the sin has not changed, and his determination to bring judgment on those who hold the position has not changed. Whether they be in the church, whether they be in civil society, whether they be Americans, whether they be citizens of the world, God has not changed. But when you come to Abraham and you consider the link between our subject discourse, change, the earlier the better, would you not think that it would be in Abraham's heart that change would come to Sodom and Gomorrah earlier rather than later? Earlier is better than later. When people's lives and their homes are at stake, early is always better. And people of faith, when they come to the place of intercession, will come with a sense of urgency and passion and commitment because they understand that dynamic. Which is why Abraham got up early in the morning. He did not lay down as the sluggard in the book of Proverbs and lay there till afternoon. He did not commence his intercession after supper. He did not presume upon the timing of God. Early is better than later at the place of intercession. Then it would have you come to chapter 22. Chapter 22. And once again, we see this man go to a different place. A different place. Verse 1 in Genesis 22, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And keep in mind now, the New Testament scriptures in the book of James teach us that God does not tempt anyone with evil. He puts people to the test. God is not to be informed here. God is not at a loss as to what Abraham might do under certain circumstances. The test, when applied to the people of God, is always for the purpose of revealing to the individual something about them that they could not otherwise know, theoretically. So we see that God did tempt Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. You know, that's the son that in the previous chapter was born of Sarah at an advanced age. And the reason that he was promised, the promised son, because he was the promised seed. And it would be through Isaac, according to prophecy, that the nation of Israel would grow and expand down through the centuries. And now, Abraham, his father, who was an old man when he was advised that he was going to have a son again, is now instructed to take him to another place. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. I might be mistaken. My memory has already lapsed 3 times this morning, seriously. And I may be lapsing again here. I'm thinking that Moriah is close akin to the location of Gethsemane and Calvary. Just throw that out on the side. And if I'm wrong, forgive me. It'll be the 3rd time this morning. Get thee to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, I don't want to put something in the scripture that's not there. And I am a bit reluctant to say it, but I'm going to do it anyway. When he says, I will tell you on what mountain. Can I just take a little bit of sanctified liberty and say to you, it would not surprise me that the exact place where he would instruct him to take him ultimately would be closer rather than further away from the place that Christ was crucified. I don't know for sure. If somebody wants to fetch that out, please let me know. I could be wrong again. But Abraham says verse 3, and I say again, the earlier the better. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Early in the morning. And he saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son cleaved wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the 3rd day, that's not insignificant, by the way, on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said, and by the way, he saw the place afar off. What would he be thinking? as step by step, minute by minute, he gets closer to the location. Do you believe he might be thinking earlier is better? Or do you think at that point that he would begin to slow down and drag, wanting to prolong the demonstration of obedience? Verse 5, Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the kid, the lad will go yonder and worship. Wow, I'm going to go worship. Abraham took the wood, laid it upon Isaac, his son. And interesting, there would be a word reversal here. Because when they come to the place, that which he laid upon his son would be laid upon for the sacrifice. Worship, now I mind you, involves sacrifice. Worship involves sacrifice. Inasmuch as worship involves giving of our offerings, giving of the best that we have, giving that which is tethered to our hearts the tightest. Sad is it that some... No, I won't go there. Later. He took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. What is he thinking there, do you suppose? Don't ask. What's he going to ask now? What will I say if he should ask? And if I say what I'm going to do, will he bolt? He could have. Behold the fire and the wood, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? That's a good question. We're here to worship. There's supposed to be a sacrifice, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, how could Abraham say that to his son when he knew that it was going to be his son that he was going to put on that wood? Well, in faith, Abraham knew that God forbade human sacrifice, and that even though his request seemed to be kind of over the edge, God somehow, sometime, was going to provide a lamb for this worship service. Faith sees beyond the immediate. Faith is able to go beyond what makes sense. Faith is able to reckon something to be so simply because of one reason, and only one reason. God said it. Period. And they came to the place, verse 9. They came to the place. What place is this? Here's the place of introspection. That's not a stretch or a reach in terminology. Because I say that a person learns a lot about self when required to do as God says, when it seems blatantly unreasonable or unfair. So they came to the place. Abraham builds an altar, lays the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him. That wood that was borne by Isaac is now reversed. He's on it. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. I say, the earlier the better. When God, the Father, took his only begotten son and permitted him to be mocked, spit on and abused, fixed to the cross of Calvary, are not those of us who are the beneficiaries of His sacrifice willing to cry out, "Thank God that it was early rather than late"? Aren't you glad that He did not prolong it? That long sought Messiah from the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 right up into the Gospels when He was born of Mary, even as Isaiah the prophet said He would be born, that long sought after Messiah finally came in the fullness of time. Did He come too early? Did He come too late? No, He came precisely at the right time. But Abraham, here in this place of Scripture, and we find, by the way, that God's requirement upon Abraham was not all that unreasonable. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. God provides. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because, and the next word is, because thou hast what? Obeyed. Obeyed. There will always be seen the thread of obedience in all that we will see in this lesson. In Abraham's life, he rose up early in the morning to get to the place of intercession. And then there came a day that he rose up early again to get on the way, the path of obedience, to the place of introspection. And I would remind you again that early, the earlier the better. I want to come back and answer the question and just halt where we are in our study. Again, the question is there any significance in the Lord's early resurrection rather than late? With regard to the inception of the Lord's day, which is resurrection day, any significance? Think about the Sabbath. It begins when? And ends when? Is earlier better there on Sabbath day? The question is there any significance in the Lord's early resurrection rather than late with regard to the inception of the Lord's day? And I come back with this. Answer is no. Things have changed from then to now. Yet even those who are allergic to or are suspicious of change must concede change. Early is not in the vocabulary of the general Christian community. It just isn't. Early with regard to worship, early with regard to service, is undesirable because we idolize the preceding day. Or we make an icon out of our traditions. Early does not necessarily mean punching the clock at a particular point. Early may also carry over into priorities, where something of great priority is given preeminent stature over something else. Worship requires a pattern of preparation that collides with our weekend culture. It collides with our weekend culture. Early is not in the vocabulary of the general Christian community. Though if you go from passage to passage to passage after passage of Scripture, you will always find a dominant theme in the lives of the people of God of old. That they went about their worship and their service for the Lord early rather than late. More to come at a later time. Dear Heavenly Father, would you please help us to sever from our hearts anything in this world that encumbers us or that competes with your right to rule in our lives. May we order our steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over us. We ask for your help in that for Jesus' sake. Amen.